In the 1970s, as a relatively young Christian, John Perkins had gone to a Mississippi jail to bail out friends who had been arrested during a civil rights protest. Instead of bailing them out, John Perkins found himself in jail. And he found himself meditating on the words of Scripture that said, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good."
And that's what started happening to me when I was in the jail and was tortured. I saw evil in those white folk. And then I thought about God. I said, "Lord, if you let me out of this jail tonight, I'd like to preach a gospel that could save us together."
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. You can find us online at familylifetoday.com. John Perkins has something to teach all of us about how we can pursue racial reconciliation, tear down dividing walls, and become one in Christ. We'll hear from him today. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. We're going to get a chance to hear from a hero today. Those folks who aren't familiar with the name John Perkins are going to get introduced to someone who has demonstrated for us, modeled for us, what it looks like to pursue racial harmony and racial reconciliation within the body of Christ.
Could there be a more appropriate topic at this time?
I think we need a hero in these days.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kim Anthony, who hosts Family Life's Unfavorable Odds podcast, which is part of the Family Life Podcast Network, had a chance to visit with Dr. Perkins recently. He lives in Mississippi, where he has lived most of his life. And she, in her conversation with him, just spent time reviewing God's work in his life and helping all of us, I think, understand the realities of racial prejudice in the Deep South, certainly, but throughout America, and what it's been like for Dr. Perkins to live through this. He was born in 1930. So we're going to dive in. We'll hear a couple of segments. This first segment we're going to hear from Kim and Dr. Perkins just takes us through the early years of his life growing up in rural Mississippi.
Dr. Perkins, as of this interview, you have just celebrated your 90th birthday and your 70th wedding anniversary. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so grateful for spending this 70 years of Vera May. And every day I weep in gratitude. How could I have been so lucky? God has been good.
Now, you've seen a lot, and you've been through a lot.
Yes, yes.
If you will you take me back in time to what your world looked like when you were born in rural Mississippi?
My mother died when I was 7 months old. She died and I lived. I was probably taking the milk that she needed for herself. I was probably draining that out. It's sort of like she sort of gave her life. She died and I lived. I think that's the greatest motivation. And I'm looking forward to that day when I see her face to face, and hopefully we could have a conversation, and I'm excited about it. I want her to say, "Well done." And I probably take that from my 17 or so honorary doctor's degree. Got the sort of like the Academy Award of Preaching and Chuck Colson Award of all of that, Wilberforce Award for my lifetime work. She don't care nothing much about that. She gonna ask me, "What did I do for people like her?" After she died, an old lady lived down the street, saw me as a little skin and bone, and she brought a quart of milk every day. to my house. That milk saved my life. My mind was saved too. That's another thing, because that milk saved my mind. But I dropped out of school when I was somewhere about the third and fifth grade. And but that was my early life. First thing I can remember in a house of, we were bootleggers and gamblers. That would be like a dope house today. A lot of children, a lot of cousins, and born out of wedlock and all of that in the community. And my aunts didn't get married, but they had these babies. My cousins, and I love them dearly. But the first thing I can remember, we was probably playing in the house, all of us. And I probably said, because they was calling their mama, mama. And I remember one of my aunts said, your mother's dead. I felt totally alone.
Dr. Perkins came from a family of sharecroppers, which was far from lucrative, to say the least.
The sharecropping system was like just a step up from the slave system.
At a young age, Dr. Perkins would learn a hard reality about the economy and how it worked for Black people in the South.
I became a sort of economist when I was a boy of about 11 years old. It was during World War II. I worked a day, almost a full day, for a white man who asked me and the other guy to work. We thought we were going to get a dollar and a half for that day's work. But he at the back, he had us to come through the kitchen. You couldn't come through the living room. Black folks had to go into the back kitchen door, go back out through the kitchen door. We came in the back kitchen, and he paid us. He gave me a dime and a buffalo nickel. And I was expecting to get about a dollar and a half for that day's work. That's what it was going back there. And I really wanted to throw that 15 cents on the ground. I hadn't accepted you was nothing and they were something. They were the master and you was that. I didn't fall for that, because I remember when we were about 2 or 3 years old, the sheriff came to look for whiskey in our house. But my grandmother said he must have brought it in there, so he found a half a pint. Then he said he was going to take grandma to jail. She said to the sheriff, white sheriff, are you a fool? She said, you think I'm going to go to jail with you and leave these children here? My dignity was affirmed there, and I haven't lost it. Thank God. Now, it's not many people grow up in that kind of environment, because most people grow up in the back trying to please the white man, because that was what they were supposed to be, inferior. So I grew up thinking that I was created in the image of God. I didn't even know God.
His confidence in who he was did not match what was expected from a Black person in the South during those times. And Dr. Perkins' family would soon feel the need to send him out of state for his own safety. And it all started after his brother Clyde came back from fighting in World War II. Clyde was talking with his girlfriend, waiting to see a movie.
In his own town, in the alleyway of a little theater, the blacks had to go up in the side so they could go upstairs, and the white folk went in the front door down there, and the boys were just coming home from the service. That's a jubilant time. They'd been gone about 3 or 4 years fighting for the country. And then the police came up behind him and hit him on the head, telling black folks to be quiet. And he turn around as a soldier. I was a soldier. When you become a soldier, you believe that you can whoop anybody with your hand. They don't need a gun. They hit him and he turned around and grabbed the club, and the policeman took the other hand and shot him in the stomach 2 times.
Well, we've been listening to a portion of an interview that Kim Anthony did with Dr. John Perkins recently, a part of her podcast called Unfavorable Odds, which is part of the Family Life Podcast Network. And listening to Dr. Perkins share his story, his brother's death at the hand of the police, you can understand where...
Oh, I mean, the heartbreak is real, but the anger... And the bitterness that you would have to feel.
Even the rage.
It's real.
And how unjust it must have felt.
Yeah. And to not know Christ, at that point, Dr. Perkins has not been converted. When you experience that, all you know to do is fight back, to want to harm the people who brought harm to you.
I mean, in some ways, that's the DNA of the human soul, revenge.
Yeah, right.
You pay back. And anything less than that is... not acceptable.
We're going to jump ahead. Dr. Perkins, in the 70s, was living again in Mississippi, and there had been a group of students who had been arrested for participation in a civil rights march. And Dr. Perkins, who at this point had come to faith in Christ, went to the jail in Brandon, Mississippi, to bail these protesters out of jail, and he found the police were waiting for him.
Dr. Perkins, I'd like to take you back to the ambush in Brandon, because as I read that part of your story, it was so powerful for me because I have experienced racism, yes, but I did not have to go through what you and your team went through during that time. So would you take me back to that jailhouse and describe what it was like for you?
It looked like they might have tricked us into coming to jail because I've come up to make bond for them. And that's when they met us out the car and got us out of the car. And they started beating us on the way to jail. And they started torturing me in that jailhouse. I thought they were going to kill us because I remember when they stopped torturing us because the FBIs were supposed to be on their way and all of that. And they stopped and they made me wash up my blood from the floor. It was just blood everywhere. And then when I got in that hall to go upstairs, there was two guys who hadn't beat us. Boy, they tried to beat us all the way up the step. It was like I was going in and out of a life. And that was torture. And it was then I said, oh Lord, these are animals. If I had a hand grenade, I would have pulled the plug. I would have been Samson. All the students would have been killed. I'd have been killed, but all those white folk would have been killed too. It was then I saw that I was broken too. I saw myself as then my reaction in my heart. I had the capability of killing them. And then that's when I said, God, if you let me out of jail or not, I want to preach a gospel that could save us together. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned, and he's going to say, Nicodemus, how can these things be? He said, you got to be born again. You're born the first time with the Adam spirit. You're born this time with God's spirit. Nicodemus, how can this be? He said, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He said, not as son as the world is to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. I don't think we read those deals, that we got to be born again. We got to know God in a deeper way, and you've confessed your sin, and you're just as not like you've never sinned. So now, He don't invite you to this. But if you sin, and when you sin, you still have an advocate with the Father. Oh, that's love. What kind of love is this? What kind of love is this that God would make us to be his children? And John said, that's who we are. So it haven't been me hating white folks and getting them over their hate. It's the fact that they have been washing my wounds too. When I went in the hospital after that, there was white doctors and white nurses and black doctors and black nurses. They took care of me. I didn't want no white ones around me. They washed my wounds too. They outloved me.
Do you think love is the key to reconciliation?
Love is the absolute. Justice is number two. Justice come out of God's love for us. He so loved us, don't kill him. And Black Lives Matter is, I can't breathe. You're killing me, you're getting life out of me. We need to get together. White folk, black folk, Lord have mercy. We had a crossroad, and we got the greatest constitution on paper that ever been thought out. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all humankind was created equal to reflect God in that image. And now, what are we doing? We keep backing away from dignity, an affirmation of that. This is a pivot time right now. And I could ask Martin's question. He would always ask it. When he came out of jail, beat up on the Pettus Bridge, he would always ask the question, where do we go from here? It ain't gonna be the same. When dignity is affirmed, black got to love whites, whites got to love blacks. We got to love one another.
In your latest book called Dream With Me, it seems like it's more of a call to action, which is what you're about, right?
It's a call to discipleship.
A call to discipleship. What do you see out there as you tour the country before the COVID-19 crisis? What did you see out there that gives you hope?
I think the multicultural churches was giving me the greatest hope. There's a group that's called the Mosaic. There's a group that's called the Christian Community Development Association. Now, like Me Too movement, I'm so glad women are getting a chance. Women done suffered a lot. Black women had to take the burden of us to save us. If I didn't have Vera Mae, what would I be with a third grade education? But since I married a PhD English type person, without her, what would I have been? You know? So I'm grateful. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for people who are thinking about these issues. We can make a better future, I think. Just like when trials come, there becomes an opportunity. The problem I can't solve, then I have to call on God. James says, count it all joy.
Not only have you impacted this nation and this world with your work, but you've impacted me and my family personally. So I thank you that I have the honor of living a life that has been far different from yours, but having opportunities that I may not have had it not been for people like you.
I want to thank you, girl. I want to thank you. You are my reward. You are my joy. That's what Paul says in Philippians. He says, the struggle we went through for in this church, we getting beat up in jail and all of that, but you're the first one who helped me. You have been with me. And he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Joy and rejoice is the highest of praise.
That's what motivates me. Gratitude. Gratitude for having a big life. Oh, it's been tough. What can I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me?
Well, a remarkable man, a remarkable life, Dr. John Perkins. We've been listening to excerpts from a conversation that Kim Anthony, the host of the Unfavorable Odds podcast, part of the Family Life Podcast Network, interview she had with Dr. Perkins. You can hear the entire interview when you go to our website, familylifetoday.com, and hear about the song Dr. Perkins heard his son singing that God used to melt his heart and bring him to faith in Christ. Kim has other episodes that are part of the current season of Unfavorable Odds, all stories of people who found strength and hope in Christ in the midst of dramatic adversity. And again, you'll find all of that on our website at familylifetoday.com.
What an inspiring story and an inspiring life. Even the emotion that he felt and conveyed at the end of his story, which brought me to tears, too.
I mean, what perspective? You know, he says, thanks for a big life. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking, I complain about the littlest things in my life. And he went through such adversity and yet has a perspective of Psalm 116. What can I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? What a beautiful, inspiring way to live your day today.
And a lot for all of us to learn about how we love one another and care for one another and fight for one another and pursue justice in our world today.
In a godly and loving way.
There is a sin of partiality. The Bible talks about that. It is a sin to show partiality to one person over another person. And we all need to be aware of and conscious of how we stumble in that sin and repent and believe the gospel and walk differently. Again, I'd encourage listeners to download the entire episode of Kim Anthony's conversation with Dr. John Perkins and other episodes from Unfavorable Odds or other podcasts that are part of the Family Life Podcast Network. Information is available online at familylifetoday.com. And let me just mention, Dr. Perkins has written a number of books on this subject that we'd like to recommend to you. His book, Let Justice Roll Down, is a powerful book where his personal story becomes a backdrop for how we can pursue harmony with one another. And then his book, Dream With Me, Race, Love, and the Struggle We Must Live. Both of these books are available in our Family Life Today Resource Center. You can order them from us online at familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800, F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today to get copies of either of these two books by Dr. John Perkins. And a quick reminder, if you've not yet downloaded the brand new Family Life app that makes it easier for you to listen to Family Life Today whenever it's convenient for you, go to the App Store on your device and type in Family Life as one word. It's easy to access. It's free. And that way you can listen to Family Life Today anytime you want. So check out the App Store and look for the Family Life Today app. And with that, we got to wrap things up for this week. Thanks for joining us. Hope you have a great weekend. Hope you and your family are able to worship together in your local church this weekend. And I hope you can join us back on Monday when we're going to talk about how we should be thinking more biblically about government, about politics, about the gospel, how all of that works together. Yeah, we're going there Monday. So I hope you can tune in to listen. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today. Hope for tomorrow.